Hi everyone, just a quick note before we get started. When we recorded the first four episodes of this season, I accidentally left the recording source as my laptop's microphone instead of our more upscale setup. This resulted in uneven audio, with me being louder and David, who sits across the table, being quieter. As a result, the audio quality in these first four episodes is less than I'm used to putting out. I used every trick I know to get something usable, and hopefully these are still listenable. This is something I care about being good, and I probably have to admit that it hurts my ego if these episodes are someone's first listen, and they think that we're always at this level. And because of my ego issues, I'm going to run this little disclaimer before the four affected episodes, and that will allow me to get over myself enough to publish these. On to the show.
Welcome to the Umpiring Fast Pitch Softball Podcast. I'm David.
And I'm Pete. And today we're going to talk about some two-person mechanics updates from the NC2A for the 25-26 season. And as far as we know, this came out after we had kind of concluded last year, last July, or towards the end of the season anyway, for their season. So this should be pretty current and something you guys should be considering as you're getting ready for the season that's coming up here.
Yeah, Cody Little posted this in September.
Okay.
Two-person mechanic updates. The following information includes changes and updates to the two-person portion of our manual. This is not the comprehensive manual.
So I can't look at these five pages and know everything there is to know about what I should be doing with myself?
Unfortunately, no, but it will tell you everything there is to do with the six things that it tells you what to do with. But then the rest of them, you have to go back to the manual. So as of the time of this recording, the CCA manual for the 26th season has not yet been published. So as far as I know, anyway, I just looked this morning at request to see if it was out there, and it's not there. So keep your eyes and ears open for that. But if you don't see a particular section updated here, the understanding is that the items in protocol have not changed in that particular instance. This is simply an additional resource until our new manuals are published. So the optional new signals for charge conferences, we've talked about these. Charge conferences and player and team warnings utilized for the three-person mechanics will also be utilized for two-person mechanics. Protocols for walking the line, calling positions, illegally batted balls, obstruction infractions, and other applicable mechanics stated in the three-person updates shall be connected to the two-person updates as well. So look forward to those. But in addition to those, the following adjustments have also been made to the two-person mechanics updates. Walk us through where I'm supposed to be in between innings, Pete.
Yeah, so if you are the plate umpire, you're going to face the team coming up to bat no less than 8 feet, no further than 10 feet from the foul line, using the first baseline and third baseline respectively extended. What are we talking about here? So what do you mean use the first and use the third and use face this?
So, okay. If the team coming up to bat is in the third base dugout,
mm-hmm.
right, you are going to stand, like if you stood at third base
mm-hmm.
and looked down across home plate, keep going 8 to 10 feet, that's where you're going to stand. Now, yep. I have seen umpires, many umpires, experienced ones and new ones, not stand on that baseline extended. They've stood facing the third base dugout, but maybe 8 feet past where we talked about, but also 4 or 5 or 6 feet up the first baseline. That's not where they want you. They want you on that baseline extended and facing the dugout, or facing the direction of the dugouts coming up to bat. So if the team that's coming up to bat is in the first base dugout, just pretend like you're standing on first base and you look at home plate, keep looking 8 to 10 more feet, and that's where the umpire should be standing if the team in the first base dugout is coming up to bat. And then for the base umpire, this one is definitely different. Let's just go back to that plate one. It's always kind of been that. Like that's right. Where you're supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
Right? First baseline extended or third baseline extended, depending on which team's coming up the bat. They clarified the 8 to 10 feet, but then it's also a picture that says, here is where you stand. Because again, some umpires were not standing on those baseline extended. So, but as far as the base umpire goes, this one actually did change and actually aligns better with the three-person manual and where you're supposed to stand in between. So how do they describe this one, Pete?
So if you're the base umpire, position third baseline extended at second base, just outside the infield, be aware of warm-up activities on or near first base foul line territory. So, okay, third baseline extended at second base. So at this point, the same way that we stood at third base, looked at home plate, shot our little laser pointer through until we went 8 to 10 feet back, right? Yep. And this time we are going to re-angle ourselves from third base towards second base, shoot that laser pointer out, and I should hit the umpire who is standing beyond second, just outside of the infield.
Yeah, at the edge of the outfield is another way. I think you could put that too. Before, the old way was in between first and second base in the outfield. Mm-hmm. So you can see the whole field and all that kind of thing. Again, this aligns now better with our three-person mechanic, because both the U1 and U3 would be standing at these baselines extended, like we are going to do now in the two-person mechanic as well. So pretty crisp. It's sharp. It looks like it's the right place to be, and it's very consistent. You can apply it consistently. You know, it's like, oh, this umpire does that different, or this umpire does that. You know, he stands closer to second base than first, and this umpire stands closer to first than second. We notice that stuff. I don't know how many other people do, but what we want to do as umpires is be as consistent as possible so that the actual arbiter that shows up is not the reason for a change in the book.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. All right. So the next one, the plate umpire, emphasis should be placed on taking a position behind the catcher that is not directly over the top or centered on the point of the plate, but rather in a slot to the left or right of the catcher on the batter's side. So now we're talking about plate umpire positioning for the calling of a pitch.
Mm-hmm.
The CCA manual, if I recall, I don't have it in front of me today, but there were like three different ways that you could be there. That was one of them. I remember from some of my clinics, it's the ear, right? The right ear of the umpire to the left ear of the catcher on a right-handed batter, and squat slightly to where your chin is at the head of the catcher, right? Where the umpire's chin is at the head of the catcher. That's different than the NFHS mechanic, right? The NFHS mechanic says you're squatted down to the top of the strike zone.
Mm-hmm.
Where your eyes go to the top of the strike zone. So you're supposed to get those eyes to that level. That's a little tougher, you know, for the strikes of the NCAA strike zone, since it's, you know, the bottom of the stern.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot further down. So it's a little different there. But what this is doing, what this change is doing for us, is saying, do not be centered over the catcher. Get in the slot.
Was there any point where being centered over the catcher would have been acceptable previously?
What's the manual? Let me take a peek at the manual here. Okay. So page 56 of last year's CCA manual says that plate stances. When working the plate, you may use the box stance, Jerry Davis, modified Jerry Davis, or heel toe. The scissors stance is not permissible in NCAA play. When choosing a stance, it's most important to choose a stance that is comfortable, athletic, and repeatable by the individual plate umpire. However, it also says set up in the slot with all of these stances. So no is the answer to your question.
Yeah.
You need to be in the slot. So it's imperative that you're able to see the outside corner of the plate with an unobstructed line of vision of the entire ball from the pitcher's release point through the strike zone to the catcher's glove. Prioritize an accurate zone over exact foot placement. Plate umpires should set their head height in a position that allows total view of the strike zone. However, your chin should be no lower than the top of the catcher's helmet. Wow, there's a memory. David had a little memory on that one. But the different stances than, you know, the box stance, Jerry Davis, modified Jerry Davis, heel toe, you know, those things have to do with your feet. And they're very clearly saying that you need to set up in the slot. And so this is more a clarification than a change.
I mean, the first word does say emphasis should be placed. So maybe they felt like people were getting a little sloppy about where they put themselves. And now we're just saying that, because we are going to talk about some base umpire position changes here. And maybe they're just saying, as we address each, this is two-player mechanics, I mean, and I think this is no different. This should be two-person, three-person. But that's, I think
that one.
Yeah.
Umpire one, right?
Yep. And so they're just talking about this as, you know, like I said, it must be that people have maybe gotten a little sloppy in some of the games that they witnessed.
Yeah, could be. So, and really good advice too, because that's the place to be.
Mm-hmm.
In the slot. You don't want to get hit either.
Right.
So really, and this is kind of here's a tip and a trick. Some umpires have really bad luck, and some umpires think they have bad luck, but they have bad setups. So in order to get hit in the slot, usually, they're going to come at me. So please do come at me in the comments on this one. Usually it has to be a hitter taking a swing at a really bad pitch that gets foul tipped back. The top tip is wrong.
But yeah, because that means it was caught.
Yeah, that gets fouled back to, and the catcher did not catch it, so it's not about to.
Mm-hmm.
Just a foul ball that comes back and hits the umpire. It's a swing at a really bad pitch, really far inside pitch, hits the neck of the bat and pops the umpire. NCAA ball, usually, you know, better batters, better pitchers.
better catchers.
Better
catchers. Because, yeah, I mean, I've been hitting plenty of 10 or 12 U games where it was just an inside pitch and the catcher was lazy and got me. Yeah.
But if you're set up a little too far behind the catcher, now the pitch has to be less inside, has to be less of a bad pitch to swing at, and then just gets fouled back and hits you. So how to make sure you're in the slot. If you get hit a lot, evaluate that. I'm not saying it's true. I'm saying you should evaluate that. If you get hit a lot, you should probably check your setup and make sure that you are actually in the slot and not too far behind the catcher.
Yep.
All right. So there's a starting position change for base umpires on page 2 of the document from Cody. And it reads, the base umpire with runners on base and positioned either behind F4 or F6, the umpire is to come set behind the respective fielder prior to the pitch. And then there's a couple of bullets.
Yeah. And so with R1, the base umpire setup shall be anywhere between 15 feet from second base and 15 feet from first base. And with multiple runners on base, umpire setup shall be anywhere between 15 feet from second base and 15 feet from third base, turned slightly as to see any runners leaving early.
Yeah. Let me reread it a little bit in my mind. With runners on base, or for mine, I should say. So I'll read that one. With runners on base and positioned either behind F4 or F6, so runner one or runner multiple runners, because now multiple runners means we definitely have runner at second or third. Yeah. Umpires set up shall be anywhere. Oh, I'm sorry. The umpire is to come set behind the respective fielder prior to the pitch. With R1, it's 15 feet between first and second. And with runners at second or third, it's 15 feet between second and third.
So we're given 15 feet cushion off of either base, which means that it's saying you could be anywhere in the 30 feet that is in between the two bases.
Yeah, I think that's what we're getting.
And when it says behind the fielder, it means behind them, not standing directly behind them as to be blocked by them. They mean vertically on the Z-axis, or however you want to think about that. You need to be deeper than they are.
Yeah, that's a good way to
put it. Yeah.
Yeah, deeper, I think. Mm-hmm. I think that's what's meant there. And gives us the freedom to move around. It used to say words like, if I'm not mistaken, it used to say words like over the left shoulder of the second baseman if there's a runner at one, over the right shoulder of the shortstop if the runner's at third, you know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just saying, hey, wherever's in here.
Yeah, the center 30 feet of the base path, base path.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, I love the flexibility that this affords us now. A little different than what I was saying in between innings, you know, where they're different. I think this one can be different given the actual situation.
Right. The speed of runners, likelihood of hitter. You got a big right-handed hitter up. She's probably pulling that thing. There's almost zero chance she's going down the right field line with it. So be that way or whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Exactly. So read the game.
Especially you got two umpire systems. So you're hustling. You're covering it all by yourself. You don't have this. Right. You know, people rotating in behind you or helping you out.
Yeah, you got it. Is she going to try to pick her up? Or
play a little closer in that case. Was that 15?
Mm-hmm. That kind of thing. So love that. All right. And then general movements. So play coverage changes and titled generic movements. What do we have under this section, Pete?
Yeah. So this for the base personnel, the base umpire only. On all plays, make every effort to move into an optimal position to keep all elements in front of you. With multiple runners, ground balls hit to the infield, focus on moving with or towards the fielders in an attempt to obtain the best angle at any base. The base umpire is not to rotate home. So this one is a big difference from third or from a three umpire system, whereas, you know, someone's always going to be rotating home. Someone's always going to be at home. Whether if the plate umpire leaves, you know, someone's dropping in behind them. U1 usually over there. So this case, there's no circumstance where that would happen.
So here's an interesting thing for me, and they're going to come at me in the comments about this one too. And this one is, you know, we don't button hook. I said the bad words in this NCAA episode here. We don't button hook. That does not mean we do not come into the infield. So if you're a base umpire and you have a runner at first base and you are on the field, right, 15 feet from first or 15 feet from second, anywhere in that 30-foot thing behind or deeper than the second baseman, and that the batted ball goes over your head or through you and is now in the outfield. This says very specifically, move into an optimal position to keep all elements in front of you. So the runner's going to come touch first base and the ball is in the outfield. Where do you need to be?
Well, you need to be inside in such a manner that the ball is in front of you. So you got to be looking at it.
Yeah.
So that would be, you would be turned around from where you had been previously standing.
Yeah.
And you need to be able to see the runner and the base that they're touching, and the fielder that could possibly be obstructing there. So everything in front of you there. So you previously had been facing home plate, but now you need to face the outfield.
Yeah.
And you previously had been outside of the diamond, and now you need to be inside the diamond. So you need to come inside the diamond and turn around.
That's right. That's exactly what you need to do. Now, that's for what's right field behind you, right? Mm-hmm. To keep everything in front of you. Now, if the ball goes to left field and mm-hmm. you're over there on the right side of the thing, you still have everything in front of you by staying out.
Right? Yeah.
You can still be out and keep everything in front of you. But there are times when, in order to keep everything in front of you, you need to come in. That's just a fact. And whether you do that by coming in and turning, coming in and spinning, or coming in and button hooking, mm-hmm. just don't say button hook, right? So,
that's the generic movements on play coverage changes. There's some more coverage changes, and I think at this point we can talk about that next time.
Awesome, sounds great.
All right, until then.